Real talk. Real talk. Real talk. Let's talk about it.
What's good, y'all? Welcome to the Real Authentic Growth Podcast. I'm Harold, and I'm doing this podcast to help motivate and help people grow. Also, to help myself grow, and I do the podcast with y'all. I look up to him as a mentor, somebody that always has something great to say. I always leave learning something new. Definitely can say y'all will get a lot from this podcast episode, and I hope you enjoy it. Today we'll be discussing relationship building. So let's talk about it. Welcome back. As I mentioned before, I got this amazing fellow with me, Chief Spain. I'd like to introduce yourself.
Name is Kareem Spain. I'm married, got a family of four kids. I got three guy kids. In a nutshell, that's my family life. I'm a career firefighter for Columbia Fire Department. And right now I'm serving as an intern division chief for second shift.
Yeah. So with that being said, let's give them a little breakdown. So you said interim division chief. So let's give them a insight on how that works, the levels of the fire department.
Yeah, so if we break it down, the division chief is responsible for one shift. At Columbia Richland Fire Department, we have three different shifts that consist of 24 hours a day. So there's three different shifts. I am the division chief for second shift. I oversee 32 stations. I have five battalion chiefs that's under me. Those five battalion chiefs actually oversee five different stations. Those five different stations, five or six different stations, can be separated or mixed up through all of Richland County. You have the Lower Richland area, you have the Northeast area, you have the Irmo side, you also have the downtown side, and then you have North Main side. So it's five different battalions, and each chief is responsible for a battalion. I am the chief that's over those five chiefs.
Yes, sir. Hey, that's a lot of responsibility right there. So how long have you been in the fire department?
I've been at Columbia 19 years. And then total service is 23.
Man.
Yeah. So I'll be able to retire in 2027.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, that's awesome. I got a long way to go. How long do you think it would take me as a senior firefighter to get to your position?
Well, it's the drive. I always tell people it's the will, it's the want. In my case, some people say it was a fast track route, but I knew coming to Columbia, I wanted to make it to the chief level. Yeah. So from day one, I knew what I had to do.
Yeah.
So there was no epiphany later in my career. Mm. Everything was happening in recruit school.
Yeah.
I knew what I wanted, and I knew what I needed to get. So from that point, it was just discipline myself to get to that level.
Yeah.
Good. So it's up to you how you want to do it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's some big shoes to fill right there, man.
Sure.
So where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Conway.
Okay, Conway.
South Carolina, Conway in the house.
So what made you come down to Columbia?
Opportunity.
Opportunity, okay.
Yeah, so at the time I had a family of two, with two kids. It was me and my wife.
Yeah.
My wife, she just finished her degree for nursing.
Okay.
I was a fireman in Conway.
Yeah.
I made it to the lieutenant ranks in Conway. And so we just needed a change. We needed opportunity. We needed a way for us to grow individually.
Right.
So my wife family, they was in Myrtle Beach. She was living in Myrtle Beach at the time. I was in Conway. So we'll find ourselves where we'll run back to family.
Yeah.
You know, when things got tight.
Yeah.
And so we wanted opportunity and finding ways for us to grow as an independent family.
Love that. So
we made a transition, and here we are.
I'm glad y'all made that transition, because we probably wouldn't have met.
If it's destiny.
Yeah,
you know?
If it's destiny. Yeah,
it's definitely destiny.
Right.
Yeah.
You're right about that. Yeah. So speaking of family and building connections, let's talk about our topic for the day, relationship building. It's episode 2. We're going to talk about relationship building. Yeah. I figured the best person to have on the podcast for that is someone that's very exceptional when it comes to building relationships.
Okay, okay.
I mean, real. Like, I
appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Man. I remember the first time I saw Chief Spain was at our last day or two of the recruit school. And it was something about the way he carried it. So I was like, man, something about this guy.
Okay.
I didn't know God was going to make you happy like this, but I was so happy that he did. I know. He ended up pulling me into his battalion, and he was a battalion chief at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, since then, it's been going up from here, you know. And I'm just thankful that God allowed him to take the time to take me under his wings in a way, because I see him as a mentor. Yeah, because he's definitely one of the first men that I feel is more spirit-led, and that talks about God and makes sure you're on the right path. Because most people, when I see it, some people that talk about God a lot, I'd be like, it depends, because they be more like suits and ties and all dressed up. That's how I was brought up in church.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Chief Spain was just like a regular guy, but he's just so, it's just the way he carried it. So he was like, man.
That's, all right, not too much. Don't lay it on too much. Don't,
no, real.
Don't lay it on too much. I appreciate it, though.
You know, they say actions, how they say it?
Speak louder than words.
Yeah, actions speak louder than words. And the way he walked and talked showed me that this was the right man to look up to when it comes to how I want to be when I get older. You know, a lot of people talk about him in great ways. Like, when he's not even in the room, they talk, man, Chief Spain, man, that's the guy right there. He knows his stuff. If you want to learn something,
okay,
talk to Chief Spain. Like, for real. All
right.
So I appreciate you for that, honestly. Yeah.
I'm glad you got something out of our time together.
Yeah,
our path crossed for a reason, so.
I'm telling you. I needed it.
Good deal. Good deal.
So, this is something new I'm putting into the podcast. It's called What's in Your Hand? So, what we got is some cards, right? They got a whole bunch of questions on there. So, what we're going to do, I'm going to shuffle it up like we're playing some cards. Look, I ain't the best at shuffling. I leave that to the wife. Don't try to come for me. I do what I can, you feel me? But we're going to go ahead. Uh-huh. You're going to do that? Yeah. See, I don't know how to do the bridge. People know how to do the bridge. I don't know how to do all
that.
Yeah, I leave that to them. Not too bad, all right?
Nah, that's good. That's good.
Okay. So I'm going to let you pick the first card off the top.
It might not be good enough to play for some money or nothing, but that's good enough.
So you pick the first card off the top, and then you just slide it to me. All right. And
that's fire right there. That's fire right there. That's a good one.
Oh, they got some good ones for you.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yes, sir. All right, so let's get straight to it. If I can put these cards back in here, there we go. All right, see what we got for you. So, what is your favorite way to pass time? What is your favorite way to pass the time?
Man, it's a lot of those. I say my favorite way to pass time was spend with family.
That's good.
There's multiple things I could do, but when I'm with my kids, my wife, we laughing, having a good time. That's probably probably the best time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. Getting the memories in, man.
Yeah. It's all about collecting them shots, taking those memories and sticking them here. So
speaking of shots, I don't know about you, but I suck when it comes to like taking pictures. Like when I'm with people, I like to be in the moment.
So
some people, they'll be like, man, let's take pictures.
My
mama good for that, boy. Yeah. Hey, my mama come around, just know we taking pictures.
But
me, on the other hand, I've always been so in tune to the moments that I'm living in at that time. You know, I like to enjoy the people I'm around.
So
in my head, I don't even think about it. But then I kind of regret it at the same time because I don't have those pictures
there
I can
go.
Look back to.
Right. Yeah.
And it's kind of like.
Yeah, say picture worth a thousand words, man.
Yeah.
And the course of my four kids, and I can look at their growth only because clicking, you know, taking a picture of every moment that we have.
Yeah.
But it could get overbearing now. It could get on. So I know what you,
I'll tell you.
I know what you're saying, that everybody want everything, you know, four or five pictures.
Exactly.
So, family definitely do it for me.
For sure. So what goal have you given up trying to achieve?
Wait, hold up. I get to pick these? Or?
Oh, no. You got to ask all of them.
Oh, okay. So it's multiple on the call.
Uh-huh. They got a whole bunch
of them. Oh, okay. Okay, cool.
They got five. Did you got five of them? I ain't going to do too much.
No, that's cool. That's cool. I'm
so
with it.
What goal have you given up trying to achieve?
What goal?
Yeah.
Trying to impress people.
Say it again.
Trying to impress people.
There you go.
Yeah, validation. Like I don't need validation from man.
Thanks.
That's for sure.
That's good.
Gave that up. It was put me in a box.
Yeah.
Yeah. And couldn't function like I needed to because I knew me. Yeah. And once I gave that up.
Yeah.
Left it alone. I started growing.
Yeah, that's so good right there, man.
Yeah, validation.
Yeah, I wish I learned about that when I was younger, man. Because most of my life, I was definitely trying to please people. And it was like, but you're not even being who you really are.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Be true to yourself.
Well, by nature, we're creatures that try to help each other, to help people.
Right.
And a lot of times when we do that, it's really natural for us. And a lot of people are born with that natural side, but it's never a maturity state to leave that and say, hey, you got to defend for yourself, you know, because you can't help everybody else if you ain't helping yourself. So
that's so true.
Yeah. So it's one of the things that all of us have. And we always want to help people because it's rewarding when we help somebody and they appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ones that don't appreciate your help.
Yeah.
And they take it for granted.
Right.
And then you got to get to a point of maturity where you say, you know what? Hey, I get it. No love lost, but no validation needed.
Yeah, because I know that when you don't get the validation that you feel you deserve, it's at the heart of your heart as well. So you start to look at people differently. You'd be like, you know what? That person did me wrong. So guess what? I'm not about to go to this person because they're going to try to do me the same way. So it messes up your mentality.
Yeah, you poison the well. One person poisoned the well.
Yeah.
And from there, you can't get nothing out of it.
That's factual.
Yeah.
Like, so what was the funniest or scariest moment of your life? What was the funniest or scariest moment of your life?
Man. God, dog, I hate to say it, but I got so many of those too. I'll say this, early in my life, I almost got shot in the head. And I felt the bullet pass my ear. It was back home, and we was walking through these guys' field, two white guys. And we was really not supposed to be there. And so we walked around a bend or a corner and the guy shot at us. And I felt the bullet pass my ear.
Mm.
And from there, I took off. They followed us. I jumped in the ditch, just tried to hide. And thank God I'm here. But that was pretty bad.
Yeah, I believe it. That's scary right there.
Yeah,
man.
That was nerve-wracking.
Yeah, would you say that made a shift in your belief in God, or would you say at that moment you was already?
Nah, at that point? I would say I was probably neutral.
Yeah,
because that time in my life I knew God.
Yeah,
but I wasn't intimate with Him.
Right,
and so I can't say that pushed me closer to God. It just made me appreciate life. But I can't say it pushed me closer to God in a form of worshiping Him more.
Mm.
I was already knew God. I was already going to church. It was just like, Lord, I thank you.
Right.
And I took it like that, and that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
So do you believe in any conspiracy theories?
Yes.
What you got
for us? Well, let me say this. If it's labeled as conspiracy theory, that means there's some truth to it.
Elaborate on that.
Right. So, like, it can be a far-fetched claim or conspiracy.
Right.
But if it's enough information gathered to call it a conspiracy theory, then it's some truth to it.
Right.
Because that's all a theory is, you know? You know, scientists use theory.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and whatever they come up or their hypothesis or whatever, it might not work. It might not be true.
Right.
But they did have some kind of substance to create a theory.
Yeah.
So I always tell people, I do believe in conspiracy theory. I think it's more truth in most of them than just theories.
Right.
I think it's factual. I think it has been proven and tested. We just don't get the whole details of the research.
Right.
So to us, it will always be conspiracy theory because we don't have the data for the research.
Right.
But I think it's mostly it'd be true.
Yeah, I mean, they might not be able to handle the truth.
Yeah, they might not. But that's me. Put me on that ticket. I love opposition. I love conspiracy theory. Okay. And so I love to look into it. Like I said, because it's always some truth in it.
Right.
Yeah.
So what conspiracy theory would you believe in, or do you believe
in? Like now?
Yeah.
Man, sure. That's like now with the current state.
Yeah, give me one.
Current government. Man, so we might have to censor this one because it deals with the government. But I don't believe the government have our best interests at heart. Mm. Yeah, I think our system of voting is just a ploy.
Yeah,
I think it's one of those things where they make you feel they try to validate you by voting.
Yeah,
and feel like you have a say so. Mm. And really, on the surface of it, I really don't think we have a surface. I think it's already been determined, not by God, but it's been determined. Well, God already know, but it's been determined by the government.
Yeah.
And I don't think they have our best interest at heart, as far as common people.
Right.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. Yeah. I believe in those. Illuminati's. I believe in it. Yeah, they're those Illuminati. Elite groups. I just believe it.
Yeah.
And to me, I feel like if you don't, it's nothing wrong with it if you don't believe in those theories.
Right.
But I would say you have to step outside the box.
Yeah.
And realize it's more going on in this world than what we see in our community. Mm. Yeah, or on TV.
Right.
Yeah, I think a lot of those are distractions.
For sure.
Yeah, they're a distraction to keep us focused on one way of living. Mm. So yeah, man, that's a whole nother podcast.
Right,
man.
Don't worry.
I'll tell you, I could dive in a little deeper, but I'd rather not. But that's a whole nother podcast.
Okay, I got you on that. Sure. So last question: what simple moments in life do you enjoy the most? And the least. What simple moments in life do you enjoy the most and the least?
Well, it kind of go back to the first question. Simple moments. Being with people you trust, family. Mm-hmm. Being with family to me, it means a lot to me. Moving away from Conway and losing most of my family. Not losing them, but being separated from them.
Right.
Coming here and start our own family. I took for granted the time I spent with people back home. Mm. And so now it's all about family. Brother, it's just cooking, eating. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, that's the simplicity of life.
Yeah.
It's embracing what you have and stop worrying about what you want.
Actually.
And start embracing what you have. There's nothing wrong with pushing for what you want because that's your goal. You want to get better. There's nothing wrong with that. But embracing what you have, to me, that's the simple things in life that... I appreciate.
Yeah.
It always come back to family.
Yeah, I like that. So we're going to hit on a different subjects when it comes to relationship building. You know, you got family.
Right.
You got friends. You got, what else we got? Colleagues at work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of areas we can speak on. So we're going to try to keep it as brief as we can. So we can first speak on the subject of family, since that's one of your major ones. So what do you feel like with family members can be something that we need to work on or do better in when it comes to building our family? Especially so if you do have kids, mm-hmm. but also if you don't have kids, and it could be just your parents instead of it being like just your family.
Okay. We as in human, that's everybody,
right.
as we. All right. Yeah. Well, I think with family, anything, relationships, period.
Yeah.
You have to build a relationship, whether it's family or not. Relationship is the key.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know a person.
Yeah.
You have to understand people. So if we're going to deal with family now, my four kids have all different personality.
Mm.
And so I can't treat all of them the same with four different personalities.
Right.
Because some can take it hard, some can't take it hard, you know? I would say, for instance, my boys, I got two boys, my boys are the oldest, And so in my parenting, I have been hard, structured.
Yeah.
Hey, get it done. I don't care. You know? Right. With my girls, it's different. They came later. And so I had to change up my parenting style for my girls. And when it comes to my wife, she's raised different from me. So we have two different cultures.
Mm, yes.
Right? So when we came together, we hit a lot of bumps in the road because I was trying to take my culture and place it on her. Mm. And sometimes I think she was trying to take her culture and place it on me.
Yep.
And we wasn't respecting each other's culture.
Right.
Or, you know, she grew up in the Bronx, right?
Yes.
So it's a little different. Her feel is different from the South. And so we bump heads on some things. It's because, and it's only because we didn't see that. We didn't see the difference in the culture and how to respect that culture.
Right.
Yeah. So building a family is about knowing each person in your family because they're your family, but how close are you? You know, what kind of relationship you have with them. Mm-hmm. And when you're looking at that, that's what you're going to get the best out of each person.
Right.
And if you handle each person individually in your family, then as a whole, you know how to, you know, protect. I say as a father, I know how to protect. I know how to love and give the ones, you know, the attention that they need.
Right. Yeah. I'm still working on that.
Yeah.
You know, mine is four.
Me too. I'm still working.
Yeah. 4-year-old girl. First one is, you know, it's tough. Feel like it's two against one most of the time.
Yeah.
I'll wait for that boy to come.
Yeah. Well, both of my sons in college now, so I'm at the house with the wife and the two girls.
Oh man,
I'm outnumbered, man.
Tragic.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this: so without kids involved, so for someone that's maybe single or that's living at the house with their parents still, what would you say to them when it comes to building a relationship with their family?
Well, it's just, to me, it's the same. You got to know the person.
Right.
You got to know them. Whether it's mom, dad, you can't treat mom or dad as they're just biologically responsible for you.
Mm.
Like, if you want a mom and a dad, you have to treat them with what you really want, you know, you really want. So you can't just say that's my mom, my dad, because they birthed me. You have to know them as well.
Mm.
You know, as, let me say, from a child standpoint, they have to see the mom and dad struggle.
Right.
Now, they might not realize it young, but now that I'm older, I see what my mom and dad had to go through. I see the things that they sheltered me from. And I seen times I blame them for not having what I wanted.
Right.
But now I see the two jobs that they work, you know. And so as a child in the family, is it, you know, you have to, if you're in a family single parent, you got to understand that's going to be different.
Yeah.
It could be a lot different than a family that has two parents, right? But building that relationship with the mother, the daughter, the father, the son, the father and the daughter, or the mother and the son, building those relationships, it don't matter how many you have in the house.
Right.
It's do you take the time to appreciate the ones that's in the house?
Mm.
Yeah, because there's some families, they got two parents in the family, and they're single parents, they have a better relationship with their child than two parents have with the child.
Yeah.
And it's more effective. So it don't matter how many people is in the house. The question is, are you giving that time to each one of them?
Mm.
Yeah. So building that relationship, knowing them, learning them, understanding them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can understand that, man.
I'll say this, because growing up, my aunt, she was a foster parent.
Yeah.
Right. And so she would get girls, like, not saying all the time, but it was on a regular basis. And she'll have like four girls in the house at one time. And so, you know, we grew up technically next door to my aunt. And so, but it was always like strife.
Yeah.
They could never get comfortable.
Because
my aunt was very strong arm. She had one way of teaching. And it was like that tough love. And so those girls that come, because she got maybe one or two boys here and there, but she kept it girls. And they were struggling. But she was old school, and she couldn't relate to them as other people in the family. So they would never, even though they stayed in the same house, they was called a family.
Yeah.
But it really wasn't a family.
Man.
Right? Because they never had a connection. They never built a relationship with each other.
man, that's tough.
Yeah.
So from that, I would say the main key would be getting to know the person.
Absolutely.
Individually.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Not just as what their title is, but who they are as a person.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so we as humans, we have a soul inside of us. It's not just our body. It's not what people actually see, how that person look. Oh, I want to be cool with them because they look good, right? Oh, I want to get with them because I could tell they work out, you know? Mm-hmm. It's more than that. It's like a soul thing. It's something inside. And what I have learned is like everybody's soul looks the same, feel the same, right? It's not whether they big or fat.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Their soul is a spirit. So we have to attack it or have to address it as we're all the same. We all craving for attention. We're all craving for love. We're craving for protection. Mm-hmm. But if I look at that person now you're doing good because you got that money.
Yeah.
Right? But it's the emptiness inside that person, even with money. And he using money to validate that. We have to recognize that. Mm-hmm. I have family members that I feel that they validate themselves through money. Yeah. Right? But I don't come at him and keep blasting them as most people do.
Right.
I know they was poor at one time. Mm-hmm. And so now money validate them. And that's cool because I'm not going to beat them up about it. But I know how to approach them because I know why they doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know their backstory.
Right.
Yeah. That's good, man.
Right.
That's deep right
there. I mean, I wish they didn't have to do it.
Yeah.
But it happens.
Yeah. Well, that tends to happen. Well, there's a quote that I looked up, and I like what it said. It's from George Washington, and he was saying, "Associate yourself with men or women of good quality. Mm-hmm. If you esteem your own reputation, for this is better to be alone than in bad company."
Mm.
So, my question with that would be like, how do you learn who is bad company? Because it's saying basically.
Yeah, so that's, I wish we could have an easy answer for that.
Yeah.
Because then we would never fall into those pits.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not an easy answer. It's not an easy answer knowing bad company. A lot of times on the surface, we will find that out pretty quick because we know what we believe in, mm-hmm. right? We know people that's for you or not or against you.
Right.
So a lot of times you will find that. But to me, the scariest time is when people fake it. Mm. You know, they fake it and you think you in good company, you won't know.
Right.
But again, if you build relationships and you actually deal with them as a person, there's their inside, their soul, and you deal with and see what they're trying to find. People can't hide that.
That's true.
Yeah.
The
so
character.
Yeah. So even on a quote on top of a quote, Maya Angelou said, when a person reveal who they are, believe them the first time.
Mm.
Right? That is indicative that eventually that is going to come out.
Yeah.
Would the real you please stand up, right?
Yeah, right.
It's going to come out. So you can fake all you want, but the more I make it personal with you and try to deal with you, I'm going to find it out a lot faster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to kind of, basically, so if they're not in the right mindset or mm-hmm. not the right person, they'll try to close off certain areas so you can't reach.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. When you're stuck in a box, you designed the wiggle.
Right.
You designed the scream, you know, because you're in the box. you know what I'm saying? I understand that. So people, they're in the box and they're going to move.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't going to stay comfortable.
Yeah.
If you got good discernment, you start recognize people, they're starting to wiggle.
Yeah.
And they don't feel comfortable. Even when you give them good stuff, you could give them good knowledge, they start to wiggle. So I'll give you an example. If you talk about, like, if you go to the average person and you say, yo, what's your money look like? Man, I'm in the stocks, you know, and trying to get that money, right? Hey, you got your money? You got you save?
Right.
The average person will be like, yo, yeah, I'm good. No, what's your bank account look like? Mm. Nah, bro, I'm good.
Right.
And he was like, nah, man, you in the stocks, right? You find people start wiggling away, right?
Mm-hmm.
That person was like, nah, that's bad company.
Right.
Because we don't agree.
Yeah.
But now if me and you are in the stocks and it's all about money, say, what your portfolio look like? Well, let me tell you this. Hey, have you tried this?
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You feel that out because you can see a person wiggling away.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're wiggling away, you let them go. You just, Yeah, so you know it's bad company then. And when I hear that quote, I don't see it as bad company as in harmful company. See, you could be in bad company that don't help you grow. You could be around good people, right? And you still don't grow. And it is, there's a quote that said that if you're the smartest one in the group, you got to find more friends, right? So it's not it's not the fact that these people are bad or evil. It's the fact that it's bad company. I need to get myself into another company to grow.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. That reminds me of what the saying is, like, great minds think alike. Mm-hmm. So you kind of want to find that great mind so y'all can come up with some great ideas. Like John C. Maxwell said something about a good idea is just a good idea. But when you get multiple good ideas, it becomes a great idea. And I'm like,
Yeah, that's good.
Just level up right there.
Yeah.
You got to level up, man.
Are we sitting there since you started with quotes? It's quotes, a lion's hunt with other lions that's hungry.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that. I ain't heard that one before.
Yeah, a lion's hunt with other lions that's hungry. They ain't going to hunt with people who ain't going, I'm good. I mean, I could eat that. Nah, you got to be on the same page because we on a mission.
I like that. Yeah. So let me ask you a question. Are you a lion?
I'm a lion.
Okay.
I'm definitely a lion.
Ask me back.
Yeah. Are you a lion?
Yeah, I'm lying. For real though. Lying. But yeah, we hungry, man. We hungry over here.
Yeah,
man.
For sure.
Just hungry to become our best selves. That's what it's all about.
That's right.
It's all about. Because when you become better, you become better for others.
That's right.
Like with you. Like I feel like you just helped me become better and now I'm able to give that off to other individuals as well that I feel like is in need as I was. So,
right. Yeah.
It's good stuff, man.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Are you looking for ways to build better relationships, to make long-lasting connections? If so, be sure to subscribe to the Real Authentic Growth Podcast so you can learn more ways to flourish in your relationships.
Now, it's time for the word of the day.
From Ephesians 4:2-3, about maintaining unity. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So, according to this, the best way to keep unity between relationships is by being humble and gentle, being patient with one another, because everyone is human. So we may make mistakes here and there, but being patient and showing compassion and mercy and grace to one another is how you maintain unity. So make that effort every day that you can so you can walk in peace.
So let's talk about, since it's February, you know, it's Black History Month.
Let's do it.
So let me tell you an instance not too long ago. It happened yesterday, I believe, actually. So I went to the elementary school and the teacher, they wanted them to get some new books. Right, so they went to get their books since Black History Month. She wanted them to get a Black History book.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the kids, he ended up getting something about Dodge Chargers. So he was like, she was like, "Well, I thought I told you to get a Black History Month book," and he was like, "Why? I don't need a Black History Month book." She was like, "Yes, you do." She was like, "No, it don't matter." Mm-hmm. And I looked at him and I was like, "But it does matter though." And that's when the teacher said. That's when the teacher said, "You know that people die for you to be here, right? Mm-hmm. People die for you to have the clothes you're wearing right now. Mm-hmm. People die for you to get these books that you got." And he was like, "Really?" And in my head, I'm thinking like, "Yeah, bro, you should know. You should know that it's important to learn about your history." And I'm thinking to myself like, "How much do you invest in your Black history?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you even read? I don't even read books really about Black history, but or Black history. And honestly, I need to do better on that. And that made me think like."
Yeah.
Am I really, would my ancestors celebrate the achievements I've been getting or the progress I've been making?
Mm-hmm.
And that made me think like, hey, would they?
Yes. Yeah, they're jumping for joy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're surrounded by a great crowd of witness, man.
Yeah.
One, that you're a believer, right?
That's true.
Yeah, and we have endured. Yeah, there's some things we could get better. But going back to... It's good that she's helping him recognize Black History Month.
Right.
But I think even in some of those cases, we have to be careful that we don't push people away by giving them too much, you know? It's like the doctor give you medicine. You can have a little bit of medicine and it don't do nothing for you.
Right.
Or you can have too much medicine and it can still hurt you, right? Yeah. It's the right dose of the medicine that we give to the kids. And I call it the Santa Claus effect because I always told my kids Santa Claus not real.
Yeah.
Like I am what they call Santa Claus.
Right.
And so my daughter, she was maybe about 4 or 5. And I said, hey, Santa Claus not real. And she was like, I said, I'm a Santa Claus. She's like, well, where's your beard then? Right? And I was like, I get it.
Yeah.
Because they'll never understand. As much as you tell them, hey, Santa Claus not real, they have to get to a place of maturity. Mm-hmm. Right? To where they realize, like, yo, now I understand what you was telling me.
Yeah.
Right? So we can beat it in the kids. But when we beat it in the kids, then sometimes they retaliate from that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I think we do our part is saying, hey, go get a book. So he go get a Dodge or whatever car book. Hey, let me ask you this. Why don't you want to want a Black History book? Let me read to you.
Right.
Because that's what strike his interest is the cars, right? So I think we need to go a little bit more instead of saying you should read one.
Right.
It's just say, hey, let me read y'all book.
Yeah.
Because what kid don't like for somebody to read them a book?
Factual.
Yeah. And so that's one of those things where Black History Month, I try to make sure I do my part. You say that would the ancestors appreciate it? I live life thinking about my ancestors.
Yeah.
And I know it's like a lot of stuff we go through, but I know they're proud of me. Like, I know they're proud of me. Mm-hmm. And I think because I live with Black history all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like I'm going to just do it on February. But I'm doing it all the time of the year.
Right.
And I think even that teacher, it should be pushed on them each time of year.
Right. I'm glad you spoke on that.
Yeah.
About the, just in February. So for me, in my mind, it's always been, you know, we got Black History Month, but we also got Juneteenth. Mm-hmm. Now, to me, personally, I always felt like Juneteenth was a little too much because I feel like it was causing even more division. Like, I love the fact that we got Black History Month, but it's like the one day that we get.
You say, wait, you say too much? Juneteenth was too much?
No, I'm saying, like, why do a day when we can do it, like, it should be important enough to not just be just a day. Like, because we got Juneteenth, but you get one day to celebrate Blackness.
Okay.
And all that. So it's like, okay, now what? Like, what difference is it really making in my head? I'm trying to figure that out.
Oof.
With the Juneteenth.
Yeah, we got, that's a whole nother topic there. Yeah, that's a lot to unpack. But let me say it just like this. To me, February, Black History Month, Juneteenth, it's not really for us.
Yeah.
It's for the world.
Mm.
For them to appreciate us.
Mm.
Our February, Juneteenth is every day.
Right.
We go through this struggle every day. We understand our accomplishment every day.
Yeah.
Right? February is for the world who didn't go through the stuff that we went through, our ancestors went through. It's for them to appreciate us. I mean, we always talk about how we built this country. And it's for them to remind them that, that was the integral part of this. So, you know, the Juneteenth, that ain't for us.
Right.
That's for everybody else.
Man.
And if they can celebrate one day, if we could get everybody to celebrate that day, if everybody could celebrate Black History Month, it shouldn't be a knock against us.
Right.
We should look at it, oh, it's the shortest month in the year. That's unfair that they give us one day. No, that ain't for us.
Yeah.
No, every day is for us. We live in this thing every day. We can't change it.
Man, I ain't never thought about it like that.
Yeah, that's
good right there.
Yeah, that's for them. We should have more.
Yeah.
We should have more months, I agree. But we shouldn't be trying to pick up a Black History book in February.
Right.
We should just watch Black History videos in February. Our family should be pushing that out every month.
I agree with that statement.
Yeah, every month we should be pushing that out.
So is there anything that you can recommend for us? Any books or
shows
or movies that you think we should watch that can educate us more on Black history?
So from the point of, I would say, if we talk about Black History Month, but I'm reading books all the time.
Yeah.
But I make sure during this month that I have a book that talk about the struggle. And Black lives. And even though we live it, the truth is that we don't live what they live. So this book is by Wright Thompson. And it's called The Barn, but it's the story of Emmett Till. And if everybody know that Emmett Till was the one that really, his murder pretty much catapulted the civil rights movement. So the death of Emmett Till, 14-year-old, visit his family in Mississippi. He's from Chicago, visited, whistled at a white woman, and the men kidnapped him and killed him. But this book go more in detail of how Mississippi conspired to get this man off. They covered up a lot of stuff. And you'll find out if you get this book. It's a real good book. I had this book maybe 2 or 3 days, but I am addicted to it. If it wasn't for my family and putting it aside, I would be finished by now.
Yeah.
But I didn't even know this. I learned through this book that Emmett Till was actually killed in a barn. They took him to a barn, and the place where they say Emmett Till was killed was actually in a little town, but that's where he whistled at the woman. Mm-hmm. But they actually took him to this barn, and the barn is still to this day. A lot of the houses are deteriorated for over the years.
Right.
This barn is still in mint condition, unfazed, untouched.
Hmm.
Even the killers, their house has been demolished pretty much during time, you know. But this barn is still there in Mississippi. But it talks about Mississippi as a whole and a systemic racism versus this one incident. So if you get a chance, pick up this book. You get it on Audible. But it's a good book. Good read. Again, it's by Wright Thompson, The Barn.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
I had to check that one out,
man. Yeah, for sure.
I think you can do better with that, for sure. That's good.
Yeah, but it's a good read.
Yeah, I like that. So let me ask you some questions. So we're going to call this rapid fire.
Gotcha.
Rapid fire.
I'm ready.
All right, so I'm just going to give you some words, and I want you to give me the first thing that comes to mind. So the ones who are watching or listening, I want y'all to also play along with us, all right?
All right, you got your editing skills on?
Yeah, editing skills.
Yeah, you got the editing.
I'm going to do my best.
Just rapid fire.
All right, so first thing to come to mind, and if you don't get the word,
let's get
first thing, I'm going to go to the next one.
Okay, all get right, it.
Love.
Wife.
Relationship.
Wife.
Building.
Family.
Dog.
Don't have one.
Cat.
Don't have one.
Thunder.
God.
Clouds. Oh, movie.
Family.
Okay. Let's see what it is. Mike.
Preacher.
Phone.
Conversation.
Scripture.
The word.
Bread.
Necessity.
Incredible.
Me.
Okay. Let's see. Life.
God.
Pursue.
Happiness.
Join.
Marriage.
All right. Last one. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
It's insane, crazy. Don't even know what it means, right. Nor can I spell it.
Right, I agree. Well, yeah, you did pretty good.
What was the one?
Which one? What's the one I missed? It was I couldn't tell you.
Was it the cloud or the cloud?
No, you got a cloud one. It was
okay. Yeah, we're gonna have to go back and run it back.
We're gonna run back.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, man, you did good though. You did good, man. First round. By the way, you are the first guest on this year's podcast for season 2.
Woo. Yeah. So with the confetti, man. What's up, man? It's
We're gonna try to get it on there.
Okay.
Yeah, man. So you the first. I had to get the first one on here for you because
you got to have a horn. Confetti. Oh,
yeah, that's true. I'm gonna get that.
This is the pilot, right?
Yeah, this is a pilot.
Yeah, that's what's up.
So yeah, man. I'm gonna ask you some questions. So this segment is called "What's on Your Mind." So I'm gonna get some thoughts from you of what's on your mind, and at the end of it, at the end of it, I want y'all to think about the questions that I'm gonna ask you after, because I want to know what's on your mind as well. And if you can put it in the comments, that'd be great. All right, so these are the questions that some viewers have sent for us to ask. So, first question: how do I show up for the people in my life, and how can I improve? So, you can ask the first one: how do I show up for the people in my life, and how can I improve?
Yeah, I would say know you, know yourself, and know your value, your worth, your value. Once you find out who you are, your worth and your value, then you can give to somebody else. It's like drinking a cup. It's the overflow that other people need, but you need to be filled.
Factual. I like that. Okay, so second question. In what ways do your relationships challenge you to grow or hold you back?
My relationship with other, it challenged me to grow in the fact that it's opposition. Things that I was taught, things that I learned, it's not my own belief.
Yeah.
It make me think outside the box.
Yeah.
If I think about lifting weights, I got to have opposition. I got to have something that pushes against what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
So I think that's the growth in relationships. It's just the appreciation of the opposition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay. So how do you handle conflict, and what can you do to improve the approach? So how do you handle conflict?
I know.
What can you do?
Yeah, I know this all seems like it's lopsided, but I have learned over the years, you have to know a person to see why they at that level. So when it's conflict, I'm hearing what a person say. Most importantly, I'm listening what they say, but I'm constantly trying to figure out what's the root cause. Why are you so mad? What is it? What's driving you right now? Yeah. People lose, they have maybe death in their family, or and they spaz out.
Yeah.
Right? We don't hold it to them. We understand because we know what they're going through.
Right.
And so I try to handle conflict like I really probably listen to them, but it don't offend me a lot of times because I'm trying to figure out what's the root cause.
Yeah.
So that's the way I handle it, trying to see people knowing that it's somebody good inside of them. But they're just handling it the wrong way. Right. And as soon as I get them to calm down, then we could talk about it.
Yeah, I like that. So you're mostly trying to listen for what they're not saying. So, because if you're more emotionally intelligent, then you may know how to respond to certain things, but they might not know how to control their emotions yet. So you can be that guy to be like, okay, or a woman, you can be that person to say, hey, I know you're feeling like this, but how was your day? Like, what happened in your day? How did your day go? Yeah. And what caused it? Like, actually show that you care about what's going on with you.
Well, yeah, it changed up because, like, different conflict is different. Co-workers, you could do that because co-workers is kind of like, all right, you tripping right now. But I got my job that because I would go off, but you know what? What's the real problem? What's bothering?
Yeah.
So when it comes to like, say my wife, right? It don't work that way all the time.
Right.
Because when I just shut down and not say that, it make it worse. Because now I don't want to talk, right?
At all.
So in those situations, I got to try to find my way through the weeds to see what she really want. At the same time, giving her feedback.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are like, man, go do your thing, go through your moment. But for her, I can't.
Yeah.
I got to help her through the process.
Facts. Happy wife, happy life. Yeah. And they ain't going to give you the easy answer. They don't want you to know it. You're going to figure it out one way or another.
So. Yeah. Yeah. But look, I oppose some to happy wife, happy life.
Yeah.
I think it starts with the man.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You start with a man. Yeah. And I think that's what happens. A lot of relationships are dominant trying to please one person, right? It should be happy wife, happy life, happy man,
right?
Happy plan, yeah. You know? It should work hand in hand. We shouldn't go into a relationship trying to only please one to make our life happy.
I agree.
That's the problem. I think that's why we have a lot of divorce and breakups.
Right. So let's say, mm-hmm. like you mentioned earlier, it depends on the person or the conflict. So let's say it's just a random person on the street you mm-hmm. bump into, they're having a bad day. So what do you do if they try to squabble? They trying to get
I try to break away. You try to release.
Yeah.
You know?
Sometimes. What does that look like?
Yeah, so well, it depends in the what environment. And if I can walk away from it,
yeah,
and just give them a moment, that's what I do. You know, like I don't antagonize. Like the dude that's riding down the road, and because I miss and cut him off, and he come up pulling beside me, and was like, "Yo, pull over, let's do this." I say, "I don't pull over.
Right. Just
keep up," because I don't. That dude could have the worst day of his life.
Facts.
And pride can't get in the way. So if he had the worst day of his life, that could be the last day of my life.
Facts.
So you know what? It ain't even that important, man. Let's keep moving.
And this real stuff. There have been instances where people have cut people off and they'll follow them all the way to the gas station. They house not even close to where they're getting.
Right.
And they'll go out there and shoot somebody. Like, I've heard this in the news already.
No, right. Because people dealing with a lot of stuff, man. And we got to realize that we have a lot of evil in the world.
Facts.
And that one day, that evil dude probably want to get you.
Yeah.
So find a way to get out.
Actually.
Yeah. Stay away.
Yeah. So the next question. So how do you love your neighbor? This is kind of a two-part. Mm-hmm. How do you love your neighbor? And how do you prioritize others you don't know in relation to those it's easier to love? So we can go on the first one. How do you love your neighbor?
Oof.
Yeah.
Man, that's a good one because you're going to have to dissect this one, man.
Right.
All right, so I'm going to make this quick.
Mm-hmm.
There's four types of love.
Yeah.
All right, so this is our process. There's four types of love. You have Eros love, which is an exotic love. That's boyfriend and girlfriend, romantic. It's lustful love, right?
Yeah.
Eros, right?
Eros.
All right, then you have a Philehe love, which is like a brotherly love.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where Philadelphia, Philae, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Philae is brotherly love.
Ah.
Then you have a Storge love. A Storge love, like a storch. A Storge love is a mother to a child.
Mm.
It's the love that a mother and a child have together, right? And then you have agape love. And agape is what the Bible speaks of, and that's the unconditional love.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about your neighbor, I don't love him as I love my wife.
Thanks.
I don't even love him as I love my mother, right? But my neighbor, I'll love him with a brotherly love. And that brotherly love is simply saying, hey, man, I'm going to respect you.
Mm.
Not that I'm in love with you.
Right.
I just respect you as a human being.
Right.
And so you have to make sure, depending who you're dealing with, what kind of love you're giving out. And that's why we try to put love in one word, but the Greeks know, and they was the master of love, but they used four different types of love to make sure we spread out.
Yeah, that makes sense. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the second part of that, how do you prioritize others you don't know in relation to those it's easier to love?
I wish the question was more in depth, like prioritize them in what, giving back love to them, or prioritize them as far as just simply needs. One thing is my family come first. I have to take care of my own first.
Yeah.
And I can't take care of somebody. I can't even show other people love if I can't do it for my family.
Yeah.
So if I say my wife, to me, I believe that's what God give us, the wife, the husband and wife, to show his love for mankind.
Yeah.
So he gave us a good example as in husband and wife.
Yeah.
And if I can't love my wife the way God wants, because she is the model of what his love should be and my love for her should be, I can't go to anybody else.
Yeah.
And then my offspring, my children, that love, you know, it's got to be different. So I prioritize it and said, hey, I got to give them what they need. And remember, we're talking about you could fill up a cup, that overflow.
Yeah.
It's what's for everybody else. If you had a saucer and a cup on a saucer, it's what fall in that saucer is for everybody else.
Right.
But I got to keep this full for them.
Yeah.
And it might not go that way all the time, but that's majority of my life is Is my family, do my family have a full cup?
Need that.
And if it's time at work, you know, what kind of quality time? Am I spending more time at work or with other people? If the cup is full,
yeah,
I got time. Because that's the overflow.
That's good.
Yeah. Good analogy. Yeah. Try to prioritize it that way.
Yeah, that's good, man. For sure. Let's see. So, the question for you. I want to know what's on your mind. So, when it comes to relationship building, what is the way that you feel the most, how can I put this, fulfilled when it comes to building relationships? How do you know when you have built a relationship to the point where it's solid? To the point where, hey, I know we're strong. I know we got it together. That's my question for you. How do you know when you built the relationship to be solidified? So if you can comment in the question, that'd be great. Oh, comment in the question. If you could answer the question in the comments, that would be great. And we would much appreciate it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man. Is there anything you would like to leave the viewers off with or listeners off with?
Nah, continue to support, man. I think GoTheta is doing a good job. At the beginning, I didn't get a chance to give him a shout out. But coming in the fire department, seeing a young guy, got a lot of energy, you know, and he's putting it in the right direction. So I say support him. Every podcast he sent out, even his rap videos, I try to check them out too.
Right.
Give him constructive criticism. But he got good energy. And that's what you need to make strong connection is people with good energy around you. Yeah. But if you see right here, real authentic growth. You know, support his channel, support his podcast, because he's doing some good thing. And don't wait till he blow up to always say, yo, that's my dude. I've been watching him since 81. Nah, right. Ain't gonna happen. Right? So make sure you do it now. Go ahead and get it under your belt. You watching the pilot or you watching some of his original stuff. Save it. You know, because when he blow up, I want to make sure I'll be like, yo, you remember when we had a little sit down, You know? So hopefully this won't be the last for me, but.
It won't.
So shout outs to Gothi, him and his wife, his fam, wife letting them, you know, put the time to make these podcasts.
Factual. I appreciate you saying
that. It's a lot of work going into it, for sure.
That it is. Yeah. Yeah, man, we definitely gonna have you on again. We starting a new segment on Real Authentic Growth called, give me a second. I don't want to frame it wrong. It is going to be called Seeking Wisdom. So basically, we're just going to have podcast episodes where, just like with Chief Spain, we're going to have some great minds come on the podcast and just give us all the wisdom we can get. You feel me? If you're seeking that wisdom, it's going to be a place to get it. I'm telling you, it's going to be the place to get it.
Good deal.
Yeah. So let me give y'all just a backstory of how we built this relationship. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about relationship building. I want to give y'all an example. So for me, coming in the fire department, I'm new. I'm already not fully myself. So a little insecurities here and there and not really knowing much people. Me being there, me and Chief Spain, he would come around. How you doing, man? You doing all right? Make jokes. He'll crack jokes. And I'd be like, okay, I can open up a little bit more. So I opened up a little bit more. See, it's not like when I first met him, I was just fully open because I had to get to know him first. Mm-hmm. And he had to get to know me. Once he started getting to know me and I started getting to know him, he was like, hey, man, you want to go cut some grass? And I was like, really? You want to do that? I said, all right, I'm cool with it. You know, I ain't cut grass in a while, but hey, if it means spending time with you, I'm cool with it. So we cut grass, do that, hang out. And then eventually I got to a point where I'm like, man, I want to learn more than just cutting grass. And, you know, the fire department, I want to learn more outside of work. You feel me? Because he ended up going to a different division. So I wasn't going to be able to be around him as much because he's in a different division now. And I'm very proud of you. Congratulations on that as well.
Thank you.
So with that being said, I was like, Chief Man, I would love to get some time with you to, you know, go out and eat. I call it grub and grow. That's when I get with my guys that got some good heads on their shoulders and just hear from, you know, we just talk. And we've been building that from... Shoot, I've been in the department for 4 years. So we've been building that for about 8 months to a year now when it comes to that. But I always get wisdom from him every time I see him. I mean, every time. Mm-hmm. Every time. I mean, every time I talk to somebody, it's always something good to say about Chief Spain. I love that, man. I want that for myself eventually as well. So Thank you again for taking the time out to come.
For sure.
I really appreciate that.
Though he didn't tell y'all the truth, he leave this out. Conspiracy theory. Remember I say there's some truth, the conspiracy.
Yeah, they know all that.
He left some stuff out. In his infancy stage at the fire department, he was talking trash about balling.
Tragic.
And then he just swore that he can beat me in basketball.
Good man.
I had to take him out like an OG. I had to take him out to the backyard.
Yep.
And we went back there and played.
Yep.
And then we killed that. Yeah. And then he felt like that wasn't good enough. He needed to be in the gym because his shoes were slipping. And he couldn't shoot on that goal. So you know what? We went to a gym.
Yeah.
And I ate him alive like a lion. You know? So after that, it was a wrap. He wanted to talk about some wisdom then. But he didn't want to get the wisdom at the beginning. So
That's true.
So let's make sure we put that out there. So after that, we begin to build. And then I say, you know what? You ain't good at balling. Can you cut grass?
Look, man, I'm decent. Look, I'm decent now. Look, I ain't no hooper. I just ball. You know, I ball for fun. I got a lot better than I. Yeah. See me on the court now. We might have different situation going on.
Yeah, them days about over for me.
See, now I got you. Now I can get you.
You still can't get me. I'll be in the wheelchair. You still can't get me.
Oh, tragic. Not that. On the wheelchair. But man, I really appreciate you for coming on, man. This was good.
For sure.
This was real good.
So I appreciate you having me, man.
Of course. Anytime. Yeah. This won't be the last time. Remember what I said, y'all. The question for that, I want y'all to go ahead and comment underneath that. I do got a challenge for y'all. Don't think y'all getting away without the challenge. So the challenge for you will be for this month. It's February. Get a book that's about Black history, man. Just learn something. It don't have to be a lot. Look it up online. Just learn something just to say, hey, I'm taking that initiative because I need to do that myself. So I'm going to be sure to do that as well. So with that being said, I appreciate y'all for tuning in. Pray y'all have a blessed week. Hope y'all can join us next time on the Real Authentic Growth Podcast. Remember, don't make excuses. Work through it.
That's right.
With that being said, hey, we out. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Real talk.